I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call.
Councilmember Deedy.
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Here.
Councilmember Edelman.
Here.
Councilmember Stout.
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Here.
So, could we get a motion for approval of the agenda?
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have no announcements, but we do have a presentation from the fire department. And Chief Smith offered to take some pictures of the council members with the fire department and the tools. So if we want to get up, we can get some pictures.
You want to get up first? Or?
Yeah, that's what you want to do.
Okay, it's where's your third guy? Didn't make it.
Oh, yeah, we're two men tonight. It's
okay. You're the third
this
guy.
This is the volunteer crew at Station 98. So if they get a call, they're going to go running out of here. So, probably now's a good time to.
You have your picture first?
Yes.
All right, I'll grab one.
Unless the council member will hold on. This is the lightest.
I'll bring this back.
This would have never happened a couple of years ago.
Okay, squish together. Squish. Gee, get in and squish.
Okay.
So much squishy.
You want to get back behind you?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Because he's a tall man. Okay, that was good. You're doing great. Yeah.
Inside the car, so they said, hey, there's going to be a lot of noise, and cover them up. These things are so quiet. All you hear now is metal.
It's crunching.
So these actually are more, have more pressure, stronger than the old hydraulic.
Really?
Oh. And you hear how quiet they are.
Yeah.
So, but,
you want to
break that yeah. I don't want to break those. So. They don't have a lot of play with stuff. So this is what's known as a spreader. This is pretty much what the old Jaws and Life is for. So we can use that. I mean, you can, not just for, most of the time we use these for vehicle extrication, but, you know, little kids can stuff between the bars.
Just
bump
it over
imagination. So then this one over here is a cutter. And it had to be made from the new, because of some of the new metals they put in cars, they had to be, this kind of knife has to be a lot stronger metal than the rest. So we can actually go in and turn a car, and typically what we try to do is turn the car into a we've been to accidents where, especially in the south, down in our Inquah, where alongside the road, the ditches are like 5-6 feet deep, right? So a car goes off in, and you get there, and you can see the top of the car. So we just cut it off and get the people out. Wow. And even when they're not hurt, kind of expensive way to get out of it. And this one, this is a spreader, so you can actually take it and put it in place.
$30,000
Yeah, we gave you that. You're going to have to replace it for 20 years. For 20 years.
How, what's the life on the battery packs?
So the nice thing about these batteries is Chief Young put a lot of work into getting the right one. Our Paumotro rep is really close and local, and we play with all three varieties. And I believe the nice thing about this battery pack is it's not special to Paumotro. It's
so you're not locked in.
We will be able to get this battery for the 20 years.
Are they lithium polymer or lithium ion?
Lithium, this is a 28 volt lithium battery. It's universal to these three tools. We have more than three batteries on our engine. We have a charger in the engine.
You can also, there's also a device that looks like a battery, but it has an electrical cord off, so you can stick it on there.
So we could run the tools off of a different generator. And this is probably rated for 5 minutes to 60 minutes. So if we're taking that long, we've got other batteries that we have other engines. So.
And we're used to take like three people to get a tool and the power unit and all these down over, come back and grab it and take it down and start working. So.
Cool. When we were looking at purchasing the crew got to use a variety of different brands and sizes. And so really, they got to put a vote in as to which ones they liked using the best, that were the easiest to use for them and the most mobile. So we got a lot of input from a lot of places. It wasn't just, let's just go buy one. They got to use it.
Kathy, would you introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Kathy McKinney. I'm one of the fire commissioners.
So yeah, so when typically we buy these, breathing apparatus, anything like that, we have all the manufacturers, 1 week, one manufacturer bring their stuff in, our guys take it out, cut cars up with it, and have sheets that they fill out, so we let the users tell us what they think works best.
That makes sense.
Does each station have the set?
We have three sets of these, so here's how we work the department. We cover 70 square miles. So we have what's called the North Battalion. That's everything west from Black Diamond, but north of Green Valley. Okay, then we have the Black Diamond Battalion. That's the city of Black Diamond and what used to be old Fire District 17. And then the South Battalion is everything south of Green Valley and the Inquah. So we always staff three main. We staff 98. Station 92 out of Kent Black Diamond and Station 96 down 400. All three of those apparatus have rescue tools on them. And we have a rescue unit that has rescue tools on it too. So
smaller combination of those two tools.
Yeah. There. The motions gave us $100,000 to buy the other sets. So,
We often get to see the chief and a few other people from the fire department, but we don't very often get to see you fellows who are out there on the firing line taking care of our friends and family, and we really want to thank you for all that you do every day.
Thank you.
We hear those sirens, we see the vehicles, and we hear about our friends and family who have had to rely on you, and we really appreciate your work.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now when they get done here, they're going to go back to our headquarters station, load up 1,100 feet of large amber hose in the back of a fire truck. So.
Thank you.
I bet this was more fun.
Okay. Is it new hose or old hose?
It's old.
You got to wash it first, dude.
Yeah, no, no, it's not anymore. No. It's all synthetic hose.
No more hose washers? No more hose washers?
Those are always fun.
Hang it up.
Now it's all synthetic hose. You rinse it off, put it back in the fire.
There you go. Thank you so much. That's a very informative.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Chief, were you going to talk about the your report?
You want me to do it now or you want me to do it at the end?
You can.
It's up to you.
Oh, okay. At the end. Okay.
You get to see him talking to me twice.
All right. So I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. This is time for public comments. Please come up to the podium and maybe somebody wants to move the podium a little bit. I think it got moved.
I did it. Pictures.
Please come up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone wishing Gary?
Hello, Madam Mayor, City Council. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Gary Davis, Black Diamond. In fact, about a stone's throw away from here. Okay. Basically, I wanted to comment about what happened in the meeting just before this. Be very, very careful with changing the rules regarding auxiliary dwelling units. Wasn't all that bad what you had. The main thing I'm worried about is making the opportunity for people to make too much, regardless of how much space they have. And also, even if you have parking for everybody off the street, it's still going to be more cars, more people that are going to impact the roads throughout the area, the more living space you create. And that's all, and thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close the public comments. We have one public hearing on the proposed ordinance regarding the code revisions for the accessory dwelling units. Ms. Kincaid.
Thank you, Mayor, Council members. So we, before we opened this meeting, we had a workshop. It was our second workshop with the council on the two chapters of code that we're looking at amending. Chapter 1850, which is the code section that provides standards for accessory uses and structures. In 1856, which is the specific accessory dwelling unit chapter in our code, you have a draft ordinance and a public hearing document with proposed changes that has been, part of it was the recommendation from the Planning Commission after they held a public hearing on January 8th. You workshopped it. We made some changes to this draft in front of you, and then we published that so that the public could see what we were working on and come in this evening and give you testimony on what they thought about these proposals. So we're not looking for action tonight. We'd just like to open the public hearing, let you hear from the public about what they think about the amendments that we're proposing in these two code chapters, and then close the public hearing. Deliberate a little bit about what you've heard, and then March 21, our legal person here, David Linehan, will rewrite the our staff person. He will rewrite the ordinance, and it'll be a repeal and replace of those two chapters, and then attached to that ordinance will be the final draft after tonight's proceedings for you to adopt. So I'd like to. That's any questions before we hear public testimony? Thank you.
So is there anyone that wishes to testify about the accessory dwelling units? Mr. Williamson?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Andy Williamson, Black Diamond citizen. I'm very supportive of the changes that you've been moving forward to with the accessory dwelling structures. If the goal that you state in your comp plan, and you've stated numerous times, is to find a mechanism to for affordable housing, this is one of those key tools that most cities have moved down to do that. I would encourage you, though, that if you become too rigorous with your requirements of accessory dwelling units, that people won't use the tool. It's a tool that we as a community, me as a father of two sons and grandsons and who knows what life will bring you, to be able to have the flexibility to use this tool, it's going to be very selective. If you look currently how you have this modified is you have to meet within the same building setback as the original structure. So if you have to have a 20-foot front yard or a 5-foot side yard or a 7-foot or a 10-foot backyard, this is going to be very selective in those sites where it needs to be placed. So one of the elements that you might consider in as you work with Barb is that there's allowed for variances to encroach into those setbacks, right? That would then allow the separation between the primary structure, the secondary structure, but still leaving enough buffer between whatever the next house is, would be something to look at, because these are the tools that we need to, because if that structure is still 10-foot, most yards wouldn't be able to place it. There's going to be very selective larger lots that we have. But this is a true tool to do infill. If we want to change the community and we want to do things different than what Oak Point brings to us on the plate and different than what those builders is, this is a true tool for affordable working class families in Black Diamond to be able to build structures for their families. The other thing I would like is, as you're still modifying the ordinances, if you would leave the public hearing open or at least give the opportunity for comments before your next meeting, before you pass your final thing. But I commend you. I commend Barb. This has been a heavy lift, but it's a lift that this community really needs, and I'm very supportive of it. And I appreciate the hard work. I know you have been on the last couple of meetings, and I commend Barb. This has been something that needs to be done, so thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to testify? We can definitely leave this public hearing open until the 21st, or do you want to do it a little less than that so you make sure you...
Well, I think leaving it open, Barb, until the next regular council meeting is fine. We could even leave it open until the 1st of April, the first council meeting in April.
Not if we're going to pass it.
Well, if we're going to vote on it on the 21st, we can.
Right, well, there's no date pushing when we have to vote on this, right? I mean, no. If we want to give people a month to comment on it, we could push it out.
But the question I have is, how many Black Diamond residents testified at the Planning Commission hearing? Mm-hmm. I know there were a lot of people that testified, but how many were Black Diamond residents?
I don't know the answer to that, okay. But we did take public testimony from probably four or five people in front of the Planning Commission.
But how much time do you need? You would need to back up to have your package ready to go for the packet for the meeting on the 21st is...
Well,
the week before.
I think we...
Tuesday.
So the 14th?
Well, it would, be like next Tuesday.
So can I just, Andy brought up a couple of good points. I mean, does the council then want to have another work session just to address for a half hour of what Andy just brought up? or you know, do we want to just leave it at what we have and get more feedback and then schedule a work session in between the next time we decide to pass this or not pass it.
So. Well, we do have some citizens that are kind of waiting for this to get passed. I know three, too. Yeah. So I would suggest leaving the hearing open until the 21st, seeing if anyone comes in to take, before you close it, and then putting, making sure you have some time on your agenda to really deliberate. You can pass the ordinance with specific changes that we state in the record.
Sure.
That would be my recommendation.
That's a good idea.
So are you good with just leaving it open until the 21st?
Yes, I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave this public hearing open until the 21st.
Madam Mayor, if there's no one else, about something else.
Pardon me?
If there's no one else to speak public comment about something else for you.
Okay.
Is it on the
ADUs?
Well, this is the public hearing.
Yeah, he can talk.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
The ADUs.
Something that, Gary Davis, Black Diamond, something that I thought that ought to be mentioned during the regular meeting was the comments that were made as to what happens if the owner is no longer available to live in the house that's involved with the figuring out of an ADU situation. If there's, literally if the family's dead and gone and it's going to be taken over by the state, or if they have to be put into an extended care situation, how is this going to be addressed as regards to the ordinance? Thank you.
So is there any other public comments for the public hearing? Okay, seeing no one, we will move on. We have an ordinance extending the school speed zone along SR 169. Mr. Linehan.
Hello, thank you, Mayor. So this ordinance was a request from the police chief and, has my understanding, has been through the Public Safety Committee. The purpose of the ordinance is to basically extend the school zone to the full extent allowed by law along 3rd Avenue, Highway 1, SR 169. By law, the speed zone, the school safety speed zone, extends 300 feet from either direction of a crosswalk, of a marked crosswalk. But currently, I believe there was a concern that at the north end of the school property, the speed zone, or the school speed zone was not adequate. And so this ordinance would both recognize the 300 feet on either side of the crosswalk at the south end of the property, which would basically push the speed zone all the way to pretty much to Lawson, and then northward from the north edge of the school property up to Park on the east side of Park of 169. So that's what this would do. And any questions? Yeah.
Well, no questions, but a gentleman who walks his child to school every day down by Park Street wrote a letter to Chief Kiblinger asking, you know, how to go about getting the school zone extended. So Chief Kiblinger brought that to the safety committee where Melissa and I sit, and then we suggested that it go to the school, where the school said, yes, that would be great. So it came back to us at the safety meeting. So we suggested that it goes to David, gets that great taken care of. I'm fully supportive. I think from Lawson Street to Park Street, we have a lot of kids that come from Lawson Street as well as down by Park Street that walk along 169. And it's long overdue. I'm glad somebody brought it up. So I'm fully supportive of passing this. So I make a motion to approve ordinance number 19-1118, extending the school speed zone along SR 169, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
I second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're now at department reports. Chief Smith. And could we get some pictures so that we could maybe put those pictures in the newsletter?
There'd be a slight charge for that. But yeah. In fact, I thought
maybe,
I put together a little press release and sent it to the Voice of the Valley so we could get in there. So.
Good.
Yeah. Good evening, Mayor, Council, Chief Smith from the Fire Department. My usual report that I'll give you here, incident reports, there's two fires. Neither one of those resulted in any fire damage at all. In fact, I think they were both people burning trash. That's something we need to put in the newsletter. That you're not allowed to have outdoor burning because one person actually had a burning barrel, which had been against the law in the state of Washington for about 20 years. And
No, I don't own one. We just know somebody that does.
Okay, all right. Yeah, well, if you see someone using, you know, burning, they're not supposed to be, call 911. We'll come out and...
We'll call 911.
Yeah.
Call the non-emergency.
Yeah. No, it's call 911. No, because we won't come out unless you call 911. Right. And that's okay. I mean, we have people that call the station, hey, there's somebody burning. We say, call 911. That's how the system works. So we want you to do that. So. Anyway, EMS 15, hazardous condition 1. Service call 2, good intent 6, and false call 1 for a total of 26 or 1.7 per day. We're averaging about one and a half calls per day in the city now. It's nice to have this now so we can watch these numbers go up as the population multiplies, because that's usually what happens there. We did have the 911 call box installed over at station 99 with the signs that we had to have them custom made. They are supposed to be in next week, so we're going to put those on that station as soon as they come in. So basically, if a person walks up to that box and pushes the button, it calls 911. The automatic. So it's police, fire, anything. So I don't know if I even talked to Jamie about it. I don't even know if she knows it's out there, but. But anyway, if you push that, because we are in enhanced 911 on the screen, as soon as the operator answers, it actually gives you the address and it'll say Fire Station 99. So we'll know exactly where that's at. So that's installed. Get the signs up hopefully next week.
Did we let the school know?
Not yet. When was it? About a week ago we finally got that installed? I think I sent you an email. I think it was about a week ago. So. I don't know if I want the kids to know that it's all.
That's what I'm saying. Why don't we let the school know? Yeah. You know, so that they know it's there. So if they see kids.
Yeah. Well, we're probably going to put something up there that, you know, a little sign that says that you're being monitored. Or something. Yeah. So even though you're not, but don't let
it's
that
gonna
out.
Be, it's going to be my niece as she comes to the door and rings the doorbell 400 times, and then she tries to change our alarm and turn it on, but she's so impatient that she can't hold it long enough for the alarm to go
goes
off.
It's a ways off the road, so hopefully the kids won't. They're so busy, they probably won't run over there, but they could. It's up, you know, a little ways off, so little tiny kids have a hard time doing that. So. Our ad hoc meeting, March 19th at Station 98 at 6:30. And our graduation on March, that's what we see, what is that, next, a week from this Saturday down at Station 96. We're doing things, I don't know if any of you had ever been to graduations at our Station 95, and we used to do like a dog and pony show. We're not doing that anymore. So it's a little more formal than our old one, and 96 because it's just a nicer station than our bay at Station 95. That's about all I have, unless you have any questions. So.
Just thank you for the demonstration tonight.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
I was really glad to see
you. Here's how, when we get new equipment, we don't take and put it on the fire engine. We get the equipment, make sure everybody's been trained on it. So it took us about 3 months to get everybody to go through and get trained on it before we get it on the rig. So it takes a while to get new stuff in service, make sure everybody's trained on it. So.
Along with that letter to the public regarding the photo and the Jaws of Life, could that be something said with the new sign in the switch, letting the community know, the residents know that that's available if needed, where it's
sure,
located.
Sure, we can put that in the news.
Just kind of together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Package.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe talking to the principal, sending letters home to the students' parents. I don't know.
Most people don't need that anymore because, you know, in the old days they were great because nobody had cell phones.
Right.
But now it's nice to have it there in case somebody pulls up there. So, okay.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
So, do we have any other department reports? Okay. Since our last meeting, we've had a few snow incidents, and I think that our city did a really good job. We had a couple of new Public Works employees that got to be trained on how to run the snow plows, and I think they did a really good job. They were able to learn how to do it and be put on duty or be on call for the fire events or for the snow events that we had. So I felt like that they did a really good job, and I had sent them out a notice that we appreciated everything that they did. So it's time for council reports. Council member Stout.
Thank you. Since the last meeting, I've attended my typical committee meetings, a Public Works meeting and a Finance Committee meeting. At our Finance Committee meeting, we had a young lady who is working on political science degree. Is that what it is? Political science?
Yes, correct.
And she came to observe one of our meetings, and it was just kind of interesting to see her kind of absorbing what we do in that kind of smaller setting, just in a committee meeting. So that was good to see someone just out there getting busy and studying. And then I took a tour with Andy Williamson of the plat that we approved tonight for 10 Trails, just helping pay attention and make sure that what is going on in 10 Trails is what's supposed to be going on. And the city staff works really hard to make sure that all the bits and pieces are covered, and it was just great to look at the documents. I told Mr. Williamson, I just can't read a map to save my life, but he helped me, you know, turn it around so when the paper's going this way, that's the way that we're going. So moving forward, and I appreciated his time and just kind of getting a good understanding of what's going on at 10 Trails. And that is my report. Thank you.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
We had a Parks and Cemetery committee meeting. We talked about the Gidder Creek Trail and a disc golf course up by Lake Sawyer Park. And we've had the work studies on the ADU stuff we were talking about earlier. That's probably about it.
Councilmember Deedy?
Well, I attended the ad hoc and the safety meeting and had a family emergency, so Councilmember Edelman covered my finance meeting. But I do have a little bit something to talk about. So I think the council, we haven't had a council retreat this year. We had one last year when everybody first got on, and it was more of staff telling, getting everybody caught up with what staff's been working on. I really think that the council needs to have a retreat that talks, where the council sits down and says, you know, we need to decide what goes on the CIP, because that's coming up. You know, what the citizens want, staff, council, you know, what do we want to start moving forward for? What are we as a council doing? And where do we want that direction for staff? Because staff takes direction from us on our policies. So if we're not working on that, they're just muddling through and thinking, okay, I think this is what council wants, and they're trying to get that. So what's the priority for parks? You just mentioned a golf disc park. Is that what your citizens want? Is that what, you know, do we need to put out a flyer and say, is that what we want? Do we want a dog park? Do we want a disc golf? What do they want? You know, what's out there. Let's see, so we got the gym, you know, what do we want to do at the gym? Do we want to just keep going as is? What's our direction there? We're at City Hall, we talked about it last council meeting. What's council's direction? Where do we want, where does our staff going with this, you know? They've heard from Brian Ross, Colin Lund. We've heard from Mr. Butts. What about our own properties that we own, the city owns? What do your citizens want? You know, what's their input? Do we need to send out some sort of questionnaire to our citizens that we haven't done? Gosh, I think we've only done it once since I've been on council. That's 8 years. So it would be nice to get that feedback. So current properties, 10 trails, you know, where do we want to place City Hall? What's the direction of each of our committees? What do we want to see? What's parks working on? Where are we going with that? What does the council as a body want? Not just two people in that, but what's the body want? What is safety? What about public works, the finance? You know, do we want to take out a loan to build City Hall? Do we want to take out a loan to buy property? What is our goal? I have a bunch of stuff here, but I just think that the council needs to have a retreat and come with some things that we want to move forward with and discuss where we can have laid back and just kind of discuss. We could do it at the bakery. We could have it, you know, from 8 to 4 or something, you know, just something where we can sit around, talk about issues. Staff can come forward, you know, bring what they're working on, and we can bring our ideas, and we can hash it all out. So I would think within the next couple of months that would be nice to do. So I'm hoping that by next council meeting, or we could send in to the mayor, or we could do tonight, just decide, you know, hey, I think April or May, maybe May would be best to figure out a date and move forward with a Saturday afternoon or all day thing to move forward. So that was a lot to put out there, but I think it was needed to discuss.
Councilmember Oglesby?
I like that idea. Just attending my work studies from last Thursday, my safety meeting today with Tammy. Gosh, in our work study today, just the normal jobs and duties of a city council member, and lots of reading. I do agree with Tammy. I'm trying to figure out what we want to do with our future in the council, what our goals are moving forward. I have questions of, like, you know, 7 council member, when are we going to look forward to that? I mean, there's a lot of things that I have questions on also, and where the cities and where we're going. So I encourage a nice retreat, maybe not on the weekends where our staff has to come back on the weekends after they worked all week, maybe something in the after, maybe it's a couple days, maybe we section it out, I don't know, but considering what the staff and the hours you guys are going through and the changes you guys are going through, it's, you know, try to find something that is compromised for and benefit both of our schedules. I'm flexible Mondays and Thursdays. Just teasing. Yeah, that's me.
Councilmember Edelman?
Yeah, it's been a nice couple of weeks. I also did the public works meeting, the parks meeting, finance meeting. I did a tour of 10 trails. Thank you very much, Andy. We also had the transfer of development rights work study. It was very informative with that person that came to the meeting that was doing their research. They had to come to a city council meeting.
And have her picture taken with the mayor.
And had to have, yeah, so we all got our picture taken again. So, but you know, what's really nice about this is the way the city is supposed to function. We all do our due diligence. We all have been up to see what we were going to vote on the final plat. You know, I just want to thank everybody on this dais, because this is a real pleasure to be able to come to these meetings and actually to get stuff done. So thank you.
So do we have an attorney report?
Not tonight, Mayor.
So it's time for the second public comments. please step up to the podium if you wish to address council. Limit your comments to 3 minutes and be sure and give your name and city of residence. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We will be having an executive session today to discuss with legal counsel potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42.30.110.1.I. How much time do you think?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. There will be no action to follow. No action. So if everybody wants to leave, we could probably just
do
our 10 minutes right here.
Do we make a motion? No, we did. We'll come back. So we make the motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Aye. Sorry, Brian.